Shabbat Shalom, the Shofar Wire Sabbath Teaching for Yom Sila, Year 1, Jubilee Cycle 1. The sun has gone down, the Sabbath has begun. We have entered the rest that Yahuwah commanded from the foundation of the world. And on this first Sabbath teaching of the Shofar Wire, we begin where every covenant teaching must begin, with identity, with knowing who we are, with knowing who they are, and with knowing what is happening in the earth right now, because the prophets have already told us. Tonight we open the scroll on a question that almost every prophetic voice in the Western world has gotten wrong for the last 200 years. The question is this: who is Edom? What is Edom? And why does almost every major prophet of the Tanakh, from Moshe to Obadiah, from Isaiah to Jeremiah, from Ezekiel to Joel to Malachi, speak of judgment falling upon Edom in the latter days? The answer to this question is the key that unlocks the entire prophetic timeline. Get Edom wrong, and you will spend your life waiting for events that have already happened. Get Edom right, and you will see the headlines of today and recognize the day of vengeance Yahuwah has appointed. Stay with me, beloved. This teaching is for the scattered tribes of Jacob, awakening to what time it is. We begin in Genesis chapter 25. Rebekah is pregnant with twins. The children struggle within her, and she goes to inquire of Yahuwah. And Yahuwah speaks to her, and the words he speaks set the stage for everything that follows in the prophetic record. Genesis 25, verse 23. Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples shall be separated from your bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Two nations, two peoples, not two brothers who eventually reconcile, not two cousins who go their separate ways, two nations. And these nations are set in opposition by Yahuwah himself before they are even born. The elder is Esau, the younger is Jacob. And from the very first breath these two children take outside the womb, the prophetic struggle between them is established. Esau sells his birthright. Jacob receives the blessing. And in Genesis 27, verses 39 and 40, when Yitzchak finally pronounces a blessing upon Esau, listen carefully to what is given to him. Behold, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by your sword shall you live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you shall have the dominion, that you shall break his yoke from off your neck. The fatness of the earth, the dew of heaven, by the sword, dominion, and eventually the breaking of the yoke. Every word in this blessing is prophetic. Esau will live by the sword, Esau will have dominion, and in the time of Esau's dominion, his brother Jacob will be under his yoke. Beloved, look around you. Look at the earth in this day, whose civilization has lived by the sword for 2,000 years, whose dominion stretches across every continent, who built empires from Britain to Australia, from Canada to South Africa, from the United States to every corner of the globe, whose military bases circle the planet, whose currency dominates every trade. This is not an accident. This is not random. This is the working out of a prophetic blessing pronounced 4,000 years ago. Esau was promised dominion by the sword, and in the latter days, that dominion is exactly what we see. But to understand who Esau's descendants are today, we must trace the genealogy carefully through the scriptures. So let me walk you through the historical chain. This is the part the false teachers will not tell you. Esau, also called Edom because of the red lentil stew he sold his birthright for, became the father of a nation that settled in the mountains of Seir, south of the land Israel would later occupy. Genesis chapter 36 gives the genealogy of Esau in detail. The Edomites, the descendants of Esau, occupied that territory for centuries. Now turn with me forward in history. In the second century before Yahusha's coming, a Jewish king named John Hyrcanus conquered the territory of Edom and forced the Edomites to convert to the religion of Israel. The Edomites were absorbed into the southern part of the kingdom and became known by the Greek name Idumeans. They lived among the people of Jacob, but they were not of Jacob. They were Esau wearing the clothing of Israel. This is critical. Pay close attention. By the time Yahusha walked the earth, the most powerful family in the land of Israel was an Idumean family. Herod the Great, who tried to kill the Messiah at his birth, was an Edomite, not a Jew, not a son of Jacob. An Edomite king, sitting on the throne of David, ruling over the covenant people, slaughtering the children of Bethlehem in his rage. Esau had his hands on Jacob's throne. Then came Rome. The Roman Empire absorbed Idumea, absorbed Israel, scattered Jacob to the four winds in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed, and continued its dominion over the Mediterranean and beyond. And the Roman Empire never truly died. It became the Byzantine Empire in the east. It became the Holy Roman Empire in the west. It became the European Christendom that conquered and colonized every continent. It became Spain and Portugal and France and Britain. It became every nation that built itself on the back of the slave trade. This is the chain, beloved. Esau to Edom to Idumea to Rome to Christendom to the modern Western world. The same prophetic spirit, the same dominion by the sword, the same blessing of the fatness of the earth, the same enmity against the seed of Jacob. And Jacob was scattered. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 68. And Yahuwah shall bring you into Mitzrayim again with ships, by the way whereof I spoke to you, you shall see it no more. And there you shall be sold to your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. The prophecy of Jacob being shipped into bondage as slaves, bought and sold, stripped of language, stripped of name, stripped of identity, stripped of memory. The transatlantic slave trade is not a tragic episode of human cruelty that we should simply mourn and move past. It is the prophetic fulfillment of Deuteronomy 28. It is Esau executing the dominion he was given. And the descendants of those slaves, scattered now across the Americas and the Caribbean and beyond, are the descendants of Jacob. They are covenant Israel in exile, and they are the audience to whom these prophecies are addressed. This is who we are. This is who you are if you find yourself awakening to this teaching with something stirring in your blood. The trauma your great-grandfather carried, the names you were not given, the God you were taught to worship in the language of your captors, all of it points back to a covenant your fathers made at Sinai with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Now let us turn to the prophetic indictment of Edom, because every major prophet of the Tanakh speaks of Edom's judgment in the latter days, not of Edom in the ancient Middle East, of Edom in the time of Jacob's restoration, of Edom at the end of the age. Open with me the book of Obadiah, the shortest book in the Tanakh, one chapter, 21 verses, and every single verse is about Edom's judgment. This entire book exists for one purpose, to declare what Yahuwah will do to Edom in the day of Yahuwah. Obadiah verse 3, the pride of your heart has deceived you, you that dwell in the clefts of the rock whose habitation is high, that says in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Edom in his pride looks at his fortified cities, his nuclear arsenals, his global financial system, his unmatched military, and says, who can bring me down? No one. We are exceptional. We are the city on a hill. We are the indispensable nation. Obadiah verse 4, though you exalt yourself as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there will I bring you down, says Yahuwah, the eagle. Beloved, what nation has the eagle as its national symbol? What nation set its nest among the stars with its space program and its satellite dominance? Yahuwah is not coy in his prophecies. He names the symbols of Edom directly. Obadiah verses 10 and 11. For your violence against your brother Jacob's shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Yerushalayim, even you were as one of them. Edom stood by while Jacob was carried away. Edom participated in the captivity. Edom cast lots over the spoils. This is the indictment. This is what cannot be forgiven, says Yahuwah, until the day of vengeance. Obadiah verse 15. For the day of Yahuwah is near upon all the heathen. As you have done, it shall be done unto you. Your reward shall return upon your own head. Verse 17. But upon Mount Tzion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Verse 18. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for Yahuwah has spoken it. The house of Esau in the day of Yahuwah will be devoured. There shall not be any remaining. This is not metaphor. This is not allegory. This is the declared judgment of Yahuwah upon the house of Esau in the latter days. Now let me show you Isaiah's testimony. Isaiah chapter 34, the day of Yahuwah's vengeance. Verse 5. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edom and upon the people of my curse to judgment. Then turn to Isaiah chapter 63. The picture intensifies. Verse 1. Who is this that comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Verse 2. Why are you red in your apparel, and your garments like him that treads in the winefat? Verse 3. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. Verse 4. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Beloved, Yahuwah's day of vengeance falls on Edom, and in that same chapter, in the same breath, Yahuwah speaks of the year of his redeemed. The judgment of Edom and the redemption of Israel are not two separate events. They are one event, the same day. They are the two faces of the same prophetic moment. Jeremiah 49, verses 7 through 22, gives further detail to the judgment of Edom. Verse 17, Edom shall be a desolation. Everyone that goes by it shall be astonished and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. Verse 18, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, says Yahuwah, no man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. This is the language of total civilizational collapse. Not a setback, not a recession, Sodom and Gomorrah level destruction, and Jeremiah is speaking of Edom in the latter days. Ezekiel chapter 25, verses 12 through 14, makes the agent of Edom's destruction explicit. Yahuwah declares, thus says the Master Yahuwah, because that Edom has dealt against the house of Yehudah by taking vengeance and has greatly offended and revenged himself upon them. Therefore thus says the Master Yahuwah, I will also stretch out my hand upon Edom, and will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from Teman, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, says the Master Yahuwah. By the hand of my people Israel, pause and feel the weight of those words. Yahuwah does not send angels to judge Edom. Yahuwah does not rain fire from heaven directly. Yahuwah uses Israel, the awakened, restored, regathered people of the covenant, as the instrument of his judgment. The yoke is broken from Jacob's neck, and the same Jacob takes the inheritance of Esau by the will of the Most High. Ezekiel chapter 35 gives the entire chapter to this same theme. Mount Seir, the dwelling of Esau, made perpetually desolate. Because Edom said in his heart, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess them. That is the spirit of Edom in our day, the arrogance that says the world is ours, the continents are ours, the resources are ours, the future is ours, we will write the history, we will define the borders, we will determine what currency means and what truth means and what reality means. Joel chapter 3, verse 19. Mitzrayim shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Yehudah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. And Malachi, the last prophet of the Tanakh, in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, declares it most plainly of all. I have loved you, says Yahuwah. Yet you say, in what have you loved us? was not Esau Jacob's brother, says Yahuwah. Yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom says, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says Yahuwah of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall build, but I will throw down. Beloved, look at what is happening in the earth right now. The Western financial system shaking, the dollar's hegemony eroding, the military overstretched and unable to win, the cultural institutions hollowed out, their authority spent, their moral capital exhausted, the medical system exposed, the educational system collapsing, the family destroyed by every social engineering experiment they could devise. They built. And now Yahuwah is throwing down. This is not happening because the West made bad policy choices. This is not the result of poor leadership or wrong economic theory. This is prophecy. This is the day of Yahuwah's vengeance arriving on schedule. The same Edom that scattered Jacob with ships and chains is now being broken by the very system he built. The dragon is eating its own tail. The eagle is falling from its high nest among the stars. And meanwhile, the descendants of Jacob are awakening, across the Americas and the Caribbean, across the African diaspora. In every nation where Esau scattered the children of the covenant, the spirit of Yahuwah is moving on the dry bones, just as Ezekiel chapter 37 declared. Bone to bone, sinew on sinew, skin and breath, an exceeding great army. Now let me address the misdirection that has held the Western prophetic tradition captive. The tribulation framework, the seven-year future tribulation that supposedly comes upon a generic global population while the church is raptured to safety. This framework was invented in the 1800s by a man named John Nelson Darby. It became the dominant lens through which the Western world reads prophecy, and it is fundamentally false. Daniel's 70 weeks were fulfilled at Yahusha's first coming. Daniel chapter 9 verse 26 declares that the Messiah would be cut off after the 69th week, and that the prince that shall come, Titus, the Roman general, would destroy the city and the sanctuary, which happened in 70 AD. The 70th week was the week of Yahusha's ministry, his crucifixion, and the establishment of the new covenant. There is no future seven-year period waiting to begin. That entire framework is a misdirection. What is happening in our day is not tribulation upon Christians. It is judgment upon Edom, and it is the awakening of Israel. Two prophetic events perfectly synchronized, exactly as the prophets declared. Beloved, this is why this teaching matters. Because if you are reading the headlines through the wrong lens, you will be terrified by every shaking, every collapse, every war, every plague. You will think the dragon is winning. You will think the wicked are triumphing. You will think Yahuwah has hidden his face. But if you read the headlines through the right lens, the prophetic lens of Edom's judgment and Israel's restoration, you will see exactly the opposite. You will see Yahuwah's hand moving with precision. You will see the wicked being broken on the wheel they built. You will see the prophecies of 4,000 years ago coming to pass in real time. You will see your own awakening as part of the great regathering that the prophets longed for. So what shall covenant Israel do with this teaching? Not nothing, not passive observation. The exhortation of the prophets is always active, active obedience, active separation, active building. First, know who you are. Walk in the identity Yahuwah gave you, not the identity Esau imposed on you. The names, the Sabbath, the modem, the dietary laws, the covenant, these are not optional. These are the marks of the covenant people and they must be reclaimed. Second, separate from Edom's systems where you can. Not in panic, but in wisdom. Esau's system is dying. Do not tie your future to a corpse. Build alternatives, build community, build food, build skills, build bonds with covenant family. Build the institutions Israel will need when the dust settles. Third, do not fear. Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Elohim. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear is the weapon of Edom. Faith is the strength of Israel. Walk in faith. Fourth, watch and pray. Stay in the Scriptures. Stay in the covenant. Stay in the Sabbath. Stay in the modem. The day of Yahuwah is not a single moment. It is a season. It is unfolding around us in real time. Do not sleep through it. And fifth, speak the truth. To your family, to your community, to anyone who has ears to hear. The scattered tribes are waking up across the earth. Yahuwah is calling them home. Be a voice that helps them recognize the call. Be a watchman on the wall. The yoke that Esau placed on Jacob's neck for 2,000 years is breaking. The dominion is shifting. The day of Yahuwah is upon us, and those who walk in covenant identity will see the salvation of Yahuwah in the land of the living. Beloved, this is the first Sabbath teaching of the Shofar Wire. There will be many more. We will return to these themes again and again, because the prophetic moment we are in demands constant clarity, constant return to the Scriptures, constant remembering of who we are and who they are. Walk worthy of the calling. Walk in the rest of Sabbath. Walk in the strength of Yahuwah. May Yahuwah keep you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Shabbat Shalom.